Hello and welcome back. Sorry if I look a bit frantic right now. In 25 minutes, I've got to rush off to Cornwall for Christmas. So I've been kicked out of the house because Monica's getting ready for her Christmas because she's got her side of the family coming over. And I'm heading all the way down to Cornwall, which will be, probably 7 to 9 hours, something like that. There's always loads of traffic. But I've just got this podcast ready in time. Let's begin. In fact, before we begin, thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. Best place to do so, comment section below. If you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, you can email hi@choosethatdobbs.com. Ah, I have to start with this. Theft of something irreplaceable. This angers me, and it's a really sad story here. This is from George. Freddie, sadly, my father's 1904 Riley motorcycle was stolen from his secured shed near Newmarket on Monday night. This has just happened. This is imminent. Is that right for past tense? Anyway, this has just happened. Carrying on, what makes it really galling is that it was my great-grandfather, Percy Riley, who is one of the three brothers that founded Riley Motorcycles. That's insane. That designed and built the motorbike, so it has a huge sentimental value to my family. The motorbike had just been restored to by Richard and Peter Rosenthal. That was completed this summer. It is the only known Riley 3.5 horsepower motorcycle in existence, the only one. Any help that you can provide by posting on your Instagram, Facebook would be hugely appreciated, George. And George is the great grandson of one of the three founders. This is heartbreaking. This has to be returned. It's not the kind of bike that can just go under the radar. Also, the thieves must have known exactly what they were stealing here, because to sell on this bike would be impossible. It would immediately be known what it is. So if anyone's heard anything about it, if anyone knows, please email me, hi@choosethatdobbs.com. I will then pass on your details directly to George so you can liaise personally or liaise through me, either one. But let's get this bike found and let's make sure these crooks do not get away with this. Moving on now, I was about to say to more positive news, but it's not really. The Harley Davidson Pan America, my bike of the week last week. I thought, Fred, you genius, this is a brilliant bike of the week. So many people have said there are so many chronic issues with the Pan America. I can't ignore it and just say nothing about it. I could have picked any one of probably about 30 people saying that these bikes are not, in a lot of cases, fit for purpose. And a lot of the people saying this are Americans as well. So it really is across the board here. Take a listen to this one example that I wanted to share because it is a first-hand example. And if possible, I like to give a first-hand example of things. This is from KFK. Sorry, Freddie. No. The Pan America is cheap for a reason. It is one of the most unreliable Harley Davidsons of the last 10 years, and that says a lot. They say they sorted out the issues from 2022. Brackets, the 2021 model was terrible. But there are literally dozens across the UK, brackets, and they never sold a lot, sat in garages waiting for parts on back order. Many people said exactly the same thing as this. Electric issues, bad engines. Starter glitches, bits falling off the exhaust, wheels, software glitches, etc. You name it, it has them all. It's got to a point that dealers won't even take them back or take them as part exchange, and warranty companies won't provide cover for them. Interestingly, it's not just KFK saying this. Again, many people have said even Harley-Davidson dealerships are so sick of them, they won't even take them as part X. I had one for a couple of weeks, just a couple of weeks. It refused to start in those 2 weeks, 6 times. The 7th was when I managed to get it back to the dealer as a buyback. It had 3,009 miles on the clock. It had already been returned before I bought it for other issues. This is quite crazy. It may sound cheap, but it's like buying a £5,000 Maserati. Fair point. Okay, I get your point there. Buyers beware. Great when they work, but a 10-year-old 60,000-mile BMW GS would be more reliable than this Pan America. Yeah, your feelings, your experiences are echoed by many people. I knew they're not going to win any awards for reliability, the Pan Americas. Honestly, I didn't know how chronic some of these are. I love doing this. I like checking US forums, and I'm quite well versed in these because of the Wrangler. I like going on forums in general, but because we've got a Wrangler, I always go into the American ones. And the American motorists, whether it's cars or motorbikes, they are hardcore critical. They only accept the best. Seriously, it's a really good place to look at American forums, because any issues with Wranglers, God, they will not let people get away with it if they think there's an issue. They all clump together and start en masse, for example, getting in touch with Jeep and Harley Davidson to make sure these issues are sorted. They are a very vocal bunch on the US forums. And I wanted to share one comment from a gentleman, an American gentleman, one of the forums for the Pan America. Quoting here, "The bike is amazing because this, what I'm about to read out, shadows, mimics, whatever you want to call it, almost everyone's opinion on the bike. The bike is amazing when it's running as intended. The Moco, however, ruined the owner experience. I haven't worn a Harley Davidson shirt or jacket since owning my 2021 Harley Davidson Pan America. Look, I still ride it, but its days are numbered and it will be replaced quickly, if for no other reason than to get away from Harley forever, after being loyal to them for 40 years. Okay, this is a genuine question to all of you. This is a really good value bike. Maybe that's debatable. It's a really cheap bike, the Harley Pan America, as a used prospect, considering it's £6,500 used, you can get one. 4 years old. They retail brand new at £17,000. Would that still make you buy a used Pan America, knowing how cheap it is now? Or does the fact that it's got such terrible reliability ratings just completely put you off? It doesn't matter about the price. Look, the bike clearly has chronic issues. You could be giving it to me for £2,000, I still wouldn't take it. I'd be really curious on your thoughts there. Moving on. Still not positive, but I'm moving on. I was meant to say at the start of the podcast, Happy Christmas, everyone. And I've picked, out of the first three stories, not one positive, so I apologise for that. Next up, the opinion of 50-plus-year-old riders on classics and motorbikes in general. This carried on from last week when I was discussing the Kawasaki Z1300, the 1970s, early 1980s Japanese muscle bike, six cylinders, 1300cc. They're advertised between £8,500 and £14,000 if you're on the continent. And I said, look, that seems like an overinflated price. But a lot of you have got back in touch, not happy with it. Oh, and one of my reasons was, I said, 60-year-old pluses, they're wanting to downsize. They're not wanting these massively heavy bikes. So let's see the response from all of you. Start with Andrew. Freddie, I'm 62 years old and I bought a Triumph Speed Triple 1200 RS last September. Please, this is a hugely popular comment, please don't lump me in with old riders. I've got health issues as long as your arm, but I'm not ready for an underpowered, lightweight bike just yet. 60-plus riders ain't dead yet. Andrew, yes, the reason I said about 60-year-old riders and referenced them is because 60-year-old riders have got in touch with me and said, we don't want big capacity heavy bikes because we're 60 years old. We want to downsize. In that situation, honestly, I was, and I'm not desperately trying to dig myself out of a hole, I actually was more relaying a message than anything. I would never have volunteered that and said, 60-year-old riders, they all need to be going on to scooters now. Not at all. Nothing for me personally I find more inspiring than seeing an 85-year-old on a Harley Davidson Triumph Rocket, something like that. But it's a point very well made. That was a really popular comment. So Andrew, I agree with you 100%. On now, Adventure Before Dementia Freddy. Again, another argument or another discussion I always like. Adventure Before Dementia Freddy, I felt compelled to switch off at the point at which you found a Royal Enfield for sub £3,000. I'm absolutely fed up with various YouTubers extolling the virtues of Royal Enfield and BSA whilst viewed through their misguided and myopic British heritage lens. Land Rover, Rolls-Royce, Bentley, Cadbury, all great British brands owned by foreign companies. Ineos Grenadier is built in France and Triumph build most of their bikes out of Thailand. Honestly, I think it's probably 95%. When YouTubers give the Indian and Chinese bike brands the oxygen of publicity they crave, they're complicit, albeit naively, in these countries' inextricable march to industrial domination and the all too inevitable further decline of Britain. Exclamation mark. Right. I'll show you. This does mean a lot to me, actually, because I am a fan, if possible, of buying things from the country, made from the country of origin. It does mean something to me. I always buy stuff on... Sorry, it looks weird, I've just done that. I always buy stuff on an emotive level. And if I buy something that is proudly of a certain nationality, certain country, I love it when I know it's made in that place. It means a lot to me. I would pay over and above. Example. Now, some of you may think I'm completely loopy. This is an American Red Wing logger boot. This is my dream boot. And I saw that Red Wing had brought this back. And the first thing I did when I found this in a shop and I've been looking for a little bit is I asked the person that worked there, is it made in America? Because for me, this is a proper out and out proud American product and brand. And for me, something like this has to be made in America. So I went inside and I checked, yep, made in the USA. It just because it does something to me. So like it does something to me. Okay, I like this kind of thing. I also understand it can't always be the case. There are some countries that have specific expertise in certain areas, and I get that 100%. So I try and be as pragmatic as possible on it. But I do agree with you. Look, it's a shame. Would I like the Triumphs made in the UK? Yeah, of course I would. I would much rather that. Look, if it's a case of, is Triumph going to go out of business if they don't relocate the manufacturing to Thailand, for example? Look, do I want it in Thailand or do I not want the company to exist? Look, of course, build it in Thailand then. But yes, I would rather it built in the UK. I'd rather everything built in the country of origin. But then when we get to Royal Enfield, honestly, and I mean this as a compliment, I almost see Royal Enfield as more Indian. The Indians have saved that brand and they've turned it into their own. In Britain, we couldn't make a success of it. The Indians have very kindly taken it on and look what they've done to it. So Royal Enfield, for me, is almost more Indian than British, and I think that's an amazing thing. But stuff like the Land Rover Defender, you know, the Defender is no longer built in Solihull. It's no longer built in Great Britain. That is a massive shame for me. For me, the Defender has to be built in Great Britain. Sorry, I'm slouching. Like, it doesn't feel the same. I know you can get cost savings in other countries, but is some stuff not worth more than that? Just for some stuff. Like, I like to be as open-minded, level-headed as possible. You can't make everything in the country, I understand that, but some stuff like a Defender. To take manufacturing, this is almost a rant, out of Great Britain, when you've got all of the expertise there to make them, you've been doing it for Defenders for whenever the Defender started, 35 years ago, and then to take it away, that's a massive shame for me. But yeah, look, I get your point. I do get your point. Yeah, it's just the way of the world at the moment. Right, I'm moving on to Guy. Freddie, I'm 54 years old. I ride a 1981 XS 1100. Massive and heavy as hell. You're totally missing the point. Totally missing the point. Classics are classics. There would be no classic car market or enthusiasts if it was all about common sense and comfort. Early wear Aston Martins don't go for £500,000 because it handles well and has creature comforts. I could ride a faceless, modern, small-capacity bike if it was just transport. Yup, again, that is a point well taken, and it's not often I get schooled on common sense, so fine. The point I was making on the Kawasaki Z1300, if Harry Metcalfe's Kawasaki Z1300 sold at auction for under £6,000, this is the point I was making, then surely we have to assume the market value of a Kawasaki Z1300 is £5,000 to £6,000. Because Harry Metcalfe's bike has provenance. It's Harry Metcalfe's. He's a huge name in motoring. And that means something. I would pay a little bit above market rate to have Harry Metcalfe's old Kawasaki, for example. So that makes me think that the real market rate has to be Harry Metcalfe's at the top end of the market, i.e. £6,000. And everything else kind of below that at £4,500 to £6,000. My point is, I believe the prices are overinflated for them, and the market has dropped on that bike. But I totally agree, extremely special bike. I'm a sucker for this type of stuff. I went out and I got the Jeep Wrangler, and I waited about 2 years to find one with the 3.6 V6 engine. Like, I would go above and beyond and pay more money for an older engine that I think is special, for example. So yeah, I get it. Again, a point well taken. Let's do a couple more. This is from Freddie. It's no different to someone preferring an old 1970s muscle car over a newer, more reliable car. The classic bikes have soul. And finally, Steve, I know you will back me up here. Steve, you're always a kind supporter of the show. Let's have a look and see what you've got. Freddie, are you crazy? Are you seriously comparing a 1300 six-cylinder bike, doesn't matter if it's Kawasaki or Honda or Benelli, to a Chinese-made bike? Any Chinese bike or smaller CC bike, then you are nuts. Yes, I'm knocking on 58 years old, but most of us older guys ride big bikes, Goldwing, Stresser Harleys. Don't you understand? It's not the price savings, it's the bike. Would you rather drive a big Jeep Wrangler or the little Fiat 500? Yes, only old guys even know what those bikes are. But we also know that they're awesome. You're not going to get the same experience and sheer thrill on a 350cc any bike than you do on one of these big beasts. I've only ever owned Harley Davidsons, but dude, you give me the chance to ride a Honda CBX and I'm there. And one more thing, if you think the Pan America is a good deal, you've been drinking too much eggnog. Steve, thank you so much. Right, okay. Okay, you've all inspired me here. I'm gonna do something here. I want to find a future classic. So a classic of the modern era. And I found one. I really hope all of you agree with this. I need something slightly on the ludicrous side. I need something with a big, tough engine. It has to be in the modern era. I'm talking within the past 20 years. What's a bike that really stands out for being so out there with the styling, with the engine, with everything? It's appreciated now, but as time goes on, this is going to be as classic as it gets. And for me, there is only one, the Triumph Rocket. The original Generation 1 Triumph Rocket. From 2004, this came out, can you believe it? 21 years old. And the interesting thing about this, to keep all of you happy on all the points we've made, 21 years ago it came out. Up until 2017, again, it's going back to what we were just saying, up until 2017, all of the Triumph Rockets, to the best of my knowledge, they were all built in Britain. Then 8 years ago, they shifted. Finally, I think this may have been the last model to go because it was such a specialist model. This, I believe, was the final model where Triumph moved all of the production over to Thailand. But if you get one from 2004 to 2017, it is a British-built bike. It started off not 2.5 litres, 2.3 litres, 120 horsepower. I'm sure it's about 40 horsepower more now. And 320 kilograms. This was a huge, huge difference. If you look at the Generation 1 compared to the new one, the Gen 1 was a muscle cruiser. You know, it could be described as Triumph's answer to a muscle Harley Davidson, for example. Whereas the new one is more like a muscle super naked bike. They've just shifted the angle and the direction of them. This is music, or going to be music to your ears. I've got MCN open here. Owners' ratings of these Generation 1 Rockets, this is really impressive considering it's such a unique specialist bike. Owners' ratings 4.7 out of 5, and owners' reliability ratings 4.2 out of 5. That is really good for such exotica. So let's see what I can find. 2010 model, actually quite new. The 2010 Triumph Rocket, take a look at that. Private seller, 22,000 miles on the clock. Fantastic cruiser with power to match. Sports bike, ABS model, belly pan, yada, yada, yada. Alarmed, original parts, well looked after, reluctant sale. It's a lovely looking thing, isn't it? It's such a unique bike and £6,800. And interestingly, the prices of these Generation 1 bikes, they've bottomed out. They're not going to be any cheaper than this. And actually, I think the prices have just started creeping up a little bit. I remember when they were down at about £5,000, £5,500, and now I believe, maybe even only by about £500, they've very, very slightly crept up over the past couple of years, and I totally understand why. That is a surefire, I'm not going to say investment, I don't know if any bike is an investment, that's a surefire future classic as you can get, in my humble opinion. Let me know, are you all happy with that? As a pick, a future classic. Bike of the week, this is from Nick. Freddie, I first passed my test in 2001. I lusted after a yellow Suzuki DR800, nicknamed the Dr. Big. I rode one of these about a year ago. A chap up the road used to tease me with it. He'd often just park it out on his driveway as I rode past on my lowly Phaser 600. However, the dream of owning the Big seem to have passed me by, as I'm not great with spanners, and a 25-year-old bike would demand the use of spanners. So imagine my delight when I came across a bike which, when you squint your eyes, looks just like a Big in my local dealership. Whilst it's not quite an authentic Big, it has fulfilled my little dream. The bike in question? Suzuki. V-Strom, but get ready for this if you're interested in this. It is a very specific one, a V-Strom 1050 XT in yellow. Lovely bike, hugely underrated, and I'm loving riding my dream. Am I a fraud? Yes, but I don't care, Nick. Nick, I tell you what, you are no fraud at all. That is an excellent looking bike. And I tell you what I'm going to do to wrap it up. You've got bike of the week here. Let's put up the original. Suzuki DR800 Dr. Big. That's a single cylinder. 800cc, 222 kilograms, 54 horsepower. There's the original right there. That was from 1991 to 1997. These are really hard to find. Actually, I was quite surprised by this. Weirdly hard to find these in the UK. You need to go over to the continent, go to France or Germany, and you will easily find one of these. But in the UK, not common at all. On the continent, it's a different story. Look at this one here. I mean, they're so cheap. It's not hard finding one like this. This is £1,760 for 1991 DR800, 43,000 miles on the clock. Lovely condition, beautiful bodywork. Did I say the price? £1,760, plus it's a 1991 model. What that means is that it's over 30 years old. So instead of having 30% import duties, you're only going to have about 6%. So you can drive with a trailer or get the train over to France, for example, pick this bike up, ride it back, pay 6% on 1,760, which is £80. £80 in duties and fees. And that's it. You've got your very own French DR800. That's really, really tempting at that price. Really tempting. It's exactly why it's fun looking at bikes over 30 years old. Now let's compare it. Bear in mind that's 1760 to the modern equivalent, Nick's, or modern-ish equivalent. Suzuki V-Strom 1050 XT, 1050cc, V-twin engine. My favourite kind of engine. I can't believe they've got a V-twin in that. 106 horsepower, so double the horsepower of the 800. 247 kilos, so it's a good 25 kilos heavier. But interestingly, this XT variant was produced only from 2020 to 2022. MCN owner's reliability rating, 5 out of 5 stars. Importantly, personal opinion here, this model, 2020 to 2022, is a much better looking bike than its predecessor. So for me, this is the one to go for full stop in the entire lineup out of all of the predecessors. I found an insanely good deal for one of these. This is a properly good deal. Facebook Marketplace, £5,600 for 2023 model. This is really good deal. All of the other ones I was looking at are about £6,500. It's also in the yellow colour, which is my favourite. Private seller, that's why you're getting such a good deal here. Very desirable champion yellow, One year only with, oh, blue, oh, it did have the blue seats. I'd be interested if they still have that because that makes a massive difference. Only had one services before I bought it. It was stored when the previous owner moved house. This is as legit an option as you can get. And £5,500 for 2,400 miles on the clock. And even then, I'll wrap it up here. Even then it says, or nearest offer. Could you get a bike this good? I can barely believe it, 2 years old, for £5,000. I'll wrap it up there with that Christmas present for all of you. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I need to rush off to Cornwall now. Have a brilliant Christmas. I'll see you all in the next one. Oh, and also, thank you so much for all of the support over the past year. I massively appreciate it.